welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm glad you've tuned into our broadcast again this week, and we're going to pick up our study here in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, verse number 25. The Lord Jesus has told his disciples here in his church, he's explained to them that they will pray unto the Father. Going forward, they will not petition the Lord Jesus as they have while he's been with them, but they will petition the Father in his name. And the Spirit of God will be there making intercession. And those things are told to us in the New Testament scriptures. The Apostle Paul tells about some of those things. And he says, ask in my name and you'll receive it, and your joy will be full in that. In verse 25, these things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but shall show you plainly of the Father. He said, I'm revealing the flat out truth of the way things are unto you. No more Proverbs, no more allegory, no more parable, but plainly of the Father. Verse 26, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. The Lord Jesus, he is there making intercession, but it's not necessary for him to petition the Father. Okay, listen to this. For the Father, verse 27, himself loveth you because you have loved me and believe that I came out from God. See, we who have been blessed to see and to hear the Lord Jesus and know that the Father sent him, the Father has loved us and sent the Savior unto us, and we love the Savior, and that is pleasing unto him. He works on our behalf. The Father himself loveth you. It's not Jesus is there. We have clarity, like I said, in the New Testament scriptures. It tells us that Jesus is there making intercession. The Spirit of God is uttering those things that can't be uttered by us. The Lord intercedes by the Spirit, by the Lord Jesus, in our prayers to the Father. But the Father yet knows what we need and yet loves us. And one might ask, well, then why pray if the Lord knows it all? Because the Lord Jesus has told us to. Prayer is good for us. We find help and relief in petitioning the Lord for our need, even though he knows all things. He is well pleased with us coming to him and beseeching him and inquiring with him of our need. The Father himself loveth you, verse 27. Why? Because you have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus was sent by the Father, and we received. We receive that. John 3:16, one of the most widely quoted scriptures and the best known scripture, I would dare say. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The Father sent the Son, and because of his love for his people. Verse 28, I came forth from the Father and had come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. So that's the way that it is. And indeed, we rejoice that the Son came and that the Son returned. And he did so, and all that he did, from coming from the Father and returning to the Father, he has done for his people. He has done for sinners. Oh, sinner without Christ, won't you receive it? Won't you believe it? That Jesus came to the earth to save sinners. Verse 29, his disciples said unto him, lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Said, indeed you are speaking plain, and they say, they're saying there, we enjoy it. We're glad of it. We know that you're that everything rests in you, Jesus. And there's no necessity for us to ask for clarity. We believe that you came forth from God. And so they're encouraged. They're blessed. They are helped by the Lord's words and this dissertation that he is delivering to them. This explanation, this clarity, these good words of the Lord before his death. But yet, there's the infirmity of the flesh, isn't there? Verse 31, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me." See, we need to understand. Oh, we need to believe the Lord, and we need to rest in him and trust in him and enjoy that which we receive of him. But we need to know how we're made to. Oh, we desire to be faithful. Yes, the child of God desires to be faithful, but yet we're fraught with this, with infirmity and with this old flesh and this old sinful man. And the Lord says to him, "Do you now believe?" He saw it said, "The hour has come that every one of you is going to be scattered. You're going to yield to what the old man and the old mind thinks rather than what you know through me. You'll leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone because the Father is always with me." Verse 33. "These things have I spoken unto you that you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world." And so here the Lord tells them about the truth. They will scatter and they are helped. But the thing is the Lord Jesus must go to the cross and he will be betrayed of all, betrayed of men, even of his own. And it's necessary that he go. But yet knowing all those things, he says, "I've told you these things that you might have peace." Peace. You trust in this world, anything to do with this world, you're going to have tribulation because of it. But be of good cheer. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. And so we very much rest in the Lord Jesus, knowing that he has overcome the world. And as it says, I believe in Philippians, we can do all things through Christ which strengthens us. Not in our own ability, not in the sheer will and grit and determination of this flesh, but by the power of God do we walk and serve him. May we remember that. And then in John chapter 17, we have here the Lord praying. They're here evidently at Gethsemane, and somewhere in the course of these chapters they have arrived. And here we have the prayer, the Lord's prayer, indeed. This is the Lord Jesus praying to the Father. In other portions of the Gospels we have what is referred to as the Lord's Prayer, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread," and so on. We have those prayers there, but those are not the Lord's Prayer. Those are model prayers. Those are prayers of instruction for us about how we should pray. But here in John 17, we indeed have the Lord's Prayer. This is his prayer. This is him praying unto the Father. And as we look at it here, we see indeed that the Lord Jesus is praying for his own. There are those that are not the Lord's own, but there are those who are the Lord's own, and he prays for them. Are you one of the Lord's? Is the Lord Jesus here praying for you? Well, through repentance and faith and salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, indeed you would be his own and can be his own. We point you to him. Repent of your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in yourself, not in the way of this world. Don't be fearful Believe and trust in the Lord. Listen to what the Lord Jesus prays. These words spake Jesus, verse 1, and lifted his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Glorify me, that I may glorify thee. A great example to us, that in any blessing, any help, any deliverance, any glory that we would receive, may we seek to glorify our Savior and great God. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, and understand that, power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. Yes, the Father has given those to the Son, and the Son is able to give eternal life to them, and the Lord Jesus has power over all flesh. I think we see that manifested in John 5. You can go back and look there in the latter part of the chapter about how the Father has given judgment to the Son that all might honor him. Verse 3, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Life eternal, that they might know the Father, that they might know the Son. Do you know the Father? Do you know the Son? Not just knowing that they exist, but do you have a relationship with them? Life eternal. Life eternal is knowing the Lord. Knowing the Lord, not just in a passing way. Oh yeah, I believe that Jesus died for our sins, and therefore I'm saved. No. But do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Has the Lord Jesus, as the Spirit of God, visited you with his word and shown you your guilt and shown you your need? And shown you Christ precious to the salvation of your soul. Are you saved? Oh, if you're not, we point you to Jesus and we pray that you'll repent, believe, and trust in him. Are you saved? Glorify your Savior. Glorify your Heavenly Father and live for him. Well, see, their time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles, and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.